sharing your word. And I pray that you will anoint my lips and only the message that you've given me would come out. And if anything I say that isn't from you, God, I pray that you will cause them not to hear. I pray for their hearts to be open to hear from you. And we love you, Lord. Amen. Okay? So I'm going to start off with a quote from D.L. Moody. And it says, God sends no one away except those who are full of themselves. This was how my life began. I wish I could say that I had a really wonderful beginning like Ruth, but I didn't. In fact, my life was just full of pride, and I was absolutely void of any humility. So I'm going to be honest. I still struggle with this. It's something that works in my heart every day. So in God's Word says in James 4:6, it said, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. God resisted my pride early in my years, and he brought me through some pretty painful circumstances. And in exchange for that, he loved me and humbled me so that he could carry out his plan for me. And I'm going to share some of that with you today. Now, my sister's here from Wisconsin. She knows about that, so she's probably going to be shocked. I hope not, but this is my story. So when I was 20, I left my small town of 1,300 people in Wisconsin for the big city of Phoenix, Arizona. I had decided that I was going to take on the world, and my only goal was to prove to everyone that I could be successful. So I started my own business and bought my first house when I was 23, and I thought this kind of success would bring me happiness, but it didn't. It just made me more empty. Within a few years of my so-called success, I had become addicted to alcohol, cigarettes, food, and very bad relationships, which would come to some disaster in my life. Instead of becoming the success that I had longed for, my life was a complete disaster. And I soon left my marriage, and I had two little boys that were 18 months old, only to worsen my situation by getting involved with a drug dealer and a drug addict. My life completely unraveled to the point of being unable to carry on a job. I was penniless and dismayed from being homeless. But by God's grace, just like Ruth, someone told me about Jesus, and I decided to make him my God. And before I completely lost everything. And when I thought I was lost, God had a plan. God had a plan for me and a purpose for my life. And he had not forgotten me or my sons. And I want to know, for you to know, that God is making plans for your life. And he has a redemption story for you too, wherever you are. God did a miracle in my life by the circumstances, just like he did with Ruth, and we're going to hear about her today. So there's three things that I want you to focus on today. And if you don't remember anything else I say today, remember these three things because they're really important. And the first one is God provided for Ruth in her poverty. God honored Ruth's humility, and he delighted in taking care of her every need. God had a purpose in her pain. And we'll see Ruth carried stigma, she carried shame, she carried judgment. And yet God had a purpose through all of those situations that she was in. And lastly, and this is very important, God had a plan for Ruth all along. He planned to redeem her. And because of Ruth's humility, God was able to carry out the plan that he had for her life. And God has a plan to redeem our lives and to carry out his plan for you too. So let's just recap Ruth 1. So Naomi's husband, Elimelech, he had moved his family from Israel to Moab to a pagan in a foreign land. Okay, this was away from the God of Israel, as Johnny talked about. It's always a bad thing when we walk away from God and not closer to him. That's what happened. Now, scripture's silent about it. Doesn't say that these things happen because of that. But we see some pretty bad things happen while they're there. Naomi's husband dies. Both of her sons die. And this would make her financially devastated immediately. And because her husband died, she had no children, she lost everything. at the end of that chapter that Naomi's helpless. And she says, don't call me Naomi, which means pleasant. She says, call me Mara, which means afflicted by God. So Naomi and Ruth both decide to take the trip back to Israel, completely penniless and completely destroyed. But they get closer to God. And this is where we'll pick up in Ruth chapter 2. So Ruth 2, 1 through 3, there was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great worth of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him, in whose sight I might find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. So Boaz was a great man of wealth, Scripture talks about him, but he was more than that. At the end of the scripture, this chapter, they talk about that he was the kinsman redeemer. This meant when Naomi lost her land, the only hope that she had was for someone to redeem her, and it needed to be a close relative. This is who he is, and this is the man that she just so happened to end up in his field. So Ruth is a foreigner in Israel, a very dangerous and unsafe place for her to be. But Ruth was motivated by love and committed to providing for Naomi, and that's why she was there. And then Scripture says that it so happened that she ended up in Boaz's field. Now in Proverbs 16:9, it says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And it was all part of God's plan that she happened to be in his field, which we'll find out later. Now, in my situation, when I lost everything, I had no money, and I was just days away from being homeless. It just so happened that my parents bothered me. They sent me 3 plane tickets, and it just so happened that I ended up on their doorstep with my 2 kids. And then it happened that I got the only job in a newspaper, and I was the one who bought it. And as it happened, this woman who trained me at work just so happened to take me to church for the first time. A church where it was a Bible teaching church. And it just so happened that these people loved me. And they taught me how to love God, how to walk with God. They took my kids in and loved them. And they taught me how to humble myself and to walk with God. No such thing as just so happened. This is all, it was no accident that I ended up with my family, just like it was no accident that Ruth ended up in the field of Boaz. Now we're going to see Boaz comes on the scene, and he comes on boldly, and he comes with a blessing. And we'll start to see that God provides for Ruth, honoring her humility. Ruth 2, 4 through 7, and we see, now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless you. Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, it is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little in the house. You will quickly find a person's character is revealed when you give them authority. Boaz is a very, very wealthy man, and he has all the authority. But yet he comes and he loves work. He loves his workers. He gives them a blessing. And they love him back. They give him a blessing back. So it's this relationship that they have. Now Ruth comes to his field and she has a purpose. She's going to glean so she can provide for her mother-in-law. Now the welfare system in the day of biblical times was quite different than ours. He made provision in his law in Leviticus that they would leave the outskirts of the field unharvested so that pagans and foreigners and people that were poor could come and work to get food for their family. And this was a way that God prepared, and he protected their dignity by giving them that opportunity to be able to work for their food. So Ruth was both poor and a foreigner, and she had all rights to glean. But she didn't demand. She didn't stop her feet. She didn't say, "I'm on a plane." She didn't make everybody miserable like I did when I came back and was poor and everybody should feel sorry for me. This is not her. She actively, she took pride in her work. And God honors Ruth by causing Boaz to take notice of her. Now, Ruth at this point has no idea who Boaz is. But Boaz knows who he is. And he knows what he can do for this woman. And he starts planning it out, I'm sure. Scripture doesn't say that, but I'm pretty sure he was. So, now as we look at the next scriptures, we see that God has purpose in Ruth's circumstances. She was impoverished, she was pagan, she was just a poor woman here in Israel. She carried shame, she carried stigma, and everything that goes along with those things, being in a community where you're looked down on. There is nothing more humbling than knowing that you're an outcast and that you don't belong. These circumstances would bring humility to Ruth. And God would not forget her or reject her. And he provided for her physical needs, and we'll see he provided even for her emotional needs. In Ruth 2, 8 through 9, it says, "Then Boaz said to Ruth, 'You will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go and glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap, and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drunk.'" Ruth knows who she is. She is a Moabite from the ancestral relationship between Lot and one of his daughters. So she knows exactly who she is and where she stands. And you can believe she was properly warned by her mother-in-law that if she left Moab and came to Israel, that she would no doubt be a perpetual widow and in poverty for the rest of her life. But Ruth is not concerned with her future. She is only concerned about loving her mother-in-law, which I think is amazing. She decides to live out this faith for the rest of her life. She is a woman of great character and love. Now, in those days, bloodlines were quite important. And people made a big deal about where you came from. In fact, there are whole genealogies listed in the Bible about where you came from. Ruth knew she was poor. She knew she was going to be rejected. There was a lot of shame that went along with this. But as God would have it, he brought Boaz. And he brought her to comfort her. Now, Boaz had a shameful bloodline as well, because his mother was Rahab, and she was a pagan and a prostitute. So he understood what it meant to carry that kind of shame. But Boaz was a man of understanding, and he loved Ruth, regardless of what bloodline she came from. You see, God had purpose where they came from. Their bloodlines brought them humility, and it was required for God to bring about what he was going to do in their lives. And I am struck when I study these scriptures what care God gives to me. And only God can love like that. In addition to her physical needs, he provides her emotional needs of comfort. God gave Ruth comfort, because Boaz tells Ruth, "Stay with my young women." Because we're basically a group of co-workers, so she didn't have to be alone. She could follow after these women and stay with them. God gave her protection. It was dangerous for her, and Boaz tells her, "Stay close, and I've instructed my men not to touch you." And they respect her, so they don't. And then he gives Ruth refreshment. Boaz tells her, "Go and drink whenever you want. Drink the water." And in John 4, 13 through 14, Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give will never thirst." God refreshed her body, and he refreshed her soul. And she was filled because God was so good to her. As I studied these scriptures, I remembered my own shame. When I crawled back to Wisconsin with two kids in tow, I'm poor, I have nothing, I wasn't the success that I had ran off to Arizona to become. I was the first one in my family to be divorced, to be a single mom struggle with alcohol is beyond welfare. And believe me, my little town was talking about it. It was a lot of shame for me. But God cared for me in every way. He gave me food, shelter, protection. And he brought me the best people to love me and encourage me and to refresh my soul. He had purpose in that stigma and that shame. It brought about humility so he could do with me what he wanted. Because he had a plan for my life. And just like in my life, he cared and was concerned about everything about Ruth. And he was making plans for her. And out of her humility, he was going to be able to carry that out. Now we'll see in the next scriptures the evidence of Ruth's humility, because she becomes generous in her poverty. God blesses Ruth abundantly because she humbles herself and she trusts God to provide for her, even when she wasn't even sure if she was going to eat the next day. Ruth 2:10-17 says she fell on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?" And Boaz answered and said to her, "It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, a full reward will be given to you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Then she said, "Let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me, and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, for I am not one of your maidservants." Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, "Come here and eat bread, and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar." So she sat beside the reapers, and he passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied, and kept some bread. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, "Let her glean even among the sheaves, and do not reproach her. And let grain fall from the bundles, fall purposely for her. Leave it, that she may glean, and do not rebuke her." So she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. Now, Ruth finds herself eating lunch with this very rich, powerful man. And although she doesn't know it yet, he can redeem her. Now, notice how Boaz gives her a lot of lunch, and then he gives her more than she needs. Instead of Ruth holding it back for herself, because she might not eat tomorrow, she holds it back, and the word says that later in the scriptures that she gives it to her mother-in-law. That's why she held it back. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I have really good stuff, I decide to eat it before I get home, because one of my 6 kids is going to mount for, and I just take it their way. That's the extent of my generosity. But not this woman. This woman realizes, like it says in James 1:17, every good and every perfect gift comes from above and comes down from the Father of lights. She is set on honoring God, and she learns that she can be generous in her poverty because she trusts God. The more she gives, the more God provides for her. She ate, and then she had more than she needed. She gleaned, and then Boaz instructs, "Give her more." This is a beautiful picture of how God is with us. God honored Ruth's generosity, and he keeps honoring her as she keeps living out this humble way of life. Now, when I was in poverty, all I knew to do was to hang on to that money tightly, because I was so broke. But God had another purpose in my poverty. And he wanted to teach me to trust him by opening my hand and giving. It's a hard thing to do when you're poor, and I remember it well. The first 1.5 years that I was in Wisconsin, I lived with my parents, and I managed to save $3,500. Now, it wasn't much, but compared to being poor and homeless and jobless, I felt like I'm rich. But I hadn't learned to trust God yet. So I held on to that tight, and I was going to hang on to that. That was going to be my security. I had just moved out of my parents' house into my apartment, And one evening, I was dreaming about what life would be if I actually had money. And then, a thought was a treasure in God's word, and it was to me specifically. In Malachi 3:10, God said, "Bring all your tithes to the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And from me now, this is the Lord of hosts, that I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it." This was an invitation for me to humble myself and depend on Him, to be generous. I asked myself, how could this be? How could I be generous and still be sustained? I was poor. I had 2 kids to take care of. But that night, the Holy Spirit asked me to open my fists to stop hanging on to that money. And I said, "God, I have nothing, but what I have is yours." And from that day forward, I started giving. I gave to my church. I gave to people that were in need. I started giving to just widows and people that really were struggling. And what happened as a result of my humility that God graciously gave me would be nothing short of a miracle. No human calculator could have come up with those results. Over the next year and a half, God provided 100% of the funding for my college. I was always at the right place at the right time. I graduated from nursing school with honors. I paid off my $8,500 account in a year, and I had $20,000 in the bank when I graduated. God had a purpose in my poverty, and it was, you know, it's just that, you know, we can't figure this out. And I can tell you, a miracle was not the money that grew in the bank, but the riches that grew here, because God changed my life just by helping me. And I want you to know, every day I still struggle with this, but open your hand, give. You know, this is something I still struggle with. But Ruth learned this early. She learned to be generous in her poverty, and God never stopped blessing her. Now, as we come to the end of our study, this is a great part, girls, we see hopelessness turn to hope as Naomi and Ruth start to see God's plan unfolding. Ruth 2:18-23, "Then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. So she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, 'Where have you gleaned today, and where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you.' So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked, and said, 'The man's name with whom I worked today is Boaz.' Then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, 'Blessed be he of the Lord, who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead.' And Naomi said to her, 'This man is a relation of ours, one of our close relatives.' Ruth the Moabitess said, 'He also said to me, you shall take close by my young women until they have finished all the harvest.' And Naomi said to Ruth, said to her daughter-in-law, 'It is good, my daughter, that you go with these young women, and that people do not meet you in any other field. So she stayed close by the women of Boaz to glean until the end of barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law.'" Now Naomi goes from, "Call me Mara, I'm distressed," back to, "Blessed be he of the Lord." She realizes, this is God, and he is going to do something. Nothing can give us hope like that, ladies. Seeing God has a plan for our lives. It is a humbling thing to go through these trials and tribulations. But hope springs in our heart when we see God has a purpose. He is a provider, and he wants to do something. Now, God had provided for Ruth and Naomi, and he had a purpose in what they were going through. And God had a plan of redemption all along, but it required them to humble themselves. Now, during my 4 years in Wisconsin, I had no clue what God was going to do. In fact, I thought I had pretty much ruined my life. I was divorced, and I had 2 kids, and no catch, believe me. But one evening, I was sitting on my couch, and I was crying, and I was telling God, what about me? Like, I know I messed up. I know my life is wrecked. And I was crying and sobbing, and I literally heard the word of God. God said, if you only knew what I was preparing, there would be no tears. I literally jumped up off the couch. and you tell me what I'm supposed to do. And for the next year and a half, I did. And then I met my husband. You can show a picture of us. There we are. Look at how young we look. Oh, my gosh. My sons were 6 years old at the time and had basically been abandoned by their father. And the very first day my husband met them, he told them, I'm going to be your dad. You're going to be my sons. You're not second-class citizens and you're not my stepkids. You're my kids. And everything I have is yours. And he needed his life redeemed. His wife of 18 years, he got a phone call at work. She suddenly died of a cardiac arrest, leaving him with a 15-year-old and an 11-year-old, and no mom. And they adopted me. I still can't believe it. I'm their mom, and we have a family. It's kind of amazing. Now, quickly, aside that, I have people in here that have counseled us marriage-wise, so I'm not going to lie to you. We have had a lot of things going on in our marriage, a lot of challenges. But God has stuck with us, and we have learned to have a graceful marriage. But it's taken a while, so I don't want you to think, oh, how pretty, nice, little happy family. No. We've had lots of things. Lots of things. So, God's in the business of redeeming our lives. And God had a purpose in those tough circumstances. And God, he makes masterpieces out of all of our broken pieces of our lives. And that's what he wants to do. So, our final thoughts again. All right, we're getting to the end here, ladies. I want you to remember that God provided for Ruth in her poverty. And God has a heart to provide for you, too. Whether your poverty is physical or in your heart, God has it in himself to provide for you. That is what he wants to do. God has a purpose in Ruth's pain and what she went through. She didn't have a good pedigree. She didn't come from a good place. And I want to ask you, what's your bloodline? What shame are you carrying? What's going on in your life? Because there's one who can change that for you. And God wants to redeem that part of your life that's gone astray. And then lastly, this is really important. God had a plan for Ruth's life all along. And it was to redeem her. There was no accident that she ended up in the field of Boaz. Well, I don't want to ruin the surprise, but they get married. Okay? And this couple would become the great-grandparents of none other than King David. How does God take a messed-up pedigree and weave them into the bloodline of Jesus Christ? Oh, my God. Only God can do it. Humility is a powerful thing, and it's a requirement for God to carry out his purpose for our lives. Now, when John the Baptist was on the scene, people would come and ask him, are you the Christ? Are you the one we're waiting for? Like, what's going on here? And he told them, there is one greater than me, whose sandal straps I am not even worthy to untie. And ladies, I want to tell you, there is one greater than Boaz, the Redeemer. There is Jesus Christ. And he is here to redeem your life. That is what he wants to do. And he wants to provide for you. He has a purpose in your pain. And he has a plan of redemption for your life. And he is inviting us to trade our imperfect lives for his perfect life. Not a fair trade, but that's it. That's what he gives us. Everything, the world. And then he fully adopts us, wherever you came from, into the royalty of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And that's the key, becomes our Father. And this is what he wants to do for each of us. You know, maybe you're sitting here right now and the Holy Spirit's coming on your heart. Maybe you've walked away from God and you need to come back. He's calling you to come back. Maybe you've never made a commitment to have Jesus Christ be your Redeemer. He wants that. He wants that for you.